Sprint Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the RTR studio. Junior, it's a brand new world, isn't it?
No toilet paper needed.
None.
For the next 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
Man, what a wild deal.
Things
lots
are
of
changing.
Stuff. There are. And, man, the racing community is embracing it, for sure. They're embracing the the steps that everybody's taken, and it's pretty interesting. There's a different landscape right now that the world's never really seen before, but would you go to a race right now?
Nope.
Really? You wouldn't?
Nope.
I would.
Nope.
I would.
Listen, I've been on this planet 59 years.
I hear you.
59 years. I've never, ever seen anything that's even remotely close to what we're going through today and what we're about to go through over the who knows how long. Who knows how long. I've been keyed right into CNN, and I have been now for quite a few months, actually. My spare time. You know, when you get older, you start watching the news a little bit more, and that's what I've been doing. I've been watching some news, and I'll tell you what, this has been not only predicted, but it's all coming to reality now, and it's something that I don't think people need to really freak out too much about, but you know what? There's no doubt it's going to cost people some lives.
It's going to cost everybody a lot of money.
Oh, economically?
Oh, man.
Can you imagine? Like, this is, it's scary stuff.
There is
absolutely
sure.
No doubt. But you know what? What we're going to do over the next 2 hours is we're going to talk about some fun stuff.
Exactly.
We're going to talk about short track racing. Of course, this weekend was the Motorama show down in Toronto. It did run on Friday. It did run on Saturday.
Yep.
Crowds were down, expectedly, right? I was surprised that it even got out of the box, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But it was right on that line.
Yeah.
I know down in the U.S. things had progressed real big time, where they were shutting the borders and they were, you know, not shutting the borders, but stopping,
events
you know,
of larger,
flights and all kinds of stuff. Here in Canada, I don't believe... we were at that particular point, but I was right on the line. I kind of thought there would be impact. I put a tweet out on Friday. Would you consider going to the show, or wouldn't you? And I got anybody can go look at our Twitter account. 32 people, not a lot of people, but 32 people did vote on it, and it was 52-48 that they weren't concerned.
Yeah.
And the other 48% were. So I kind of thought that there was going to be an economic impact on the show. And then, sure enough, they pulled the plug Saturday night for Sunday. Because normally the show would have ran again today. And it didn't. It didn't. They, you know, exited out of there. Probably a good move. Well, not probably. Was the right call. And we got to really, you know, put it out to absolutely everybody. You know, the effort that's put out to put that show on, not only Greg and everybody at Inside Track, how much emphasis they put on that, how much time they spend on it, but how about everybody that shows up with their car, the custom cars, and the racetracks and the different race vehicles that were in there.
Yep.
One that stands out to me, there's a couple, but one that really stands out, Canadian Vintage Modifieds, John Carley, and Young Drivers of Canada were set up. I believe I seen four or five vintage modifieds.
Yeah.
They looked amazing.
Yeah, and it wasn't long ago that there was only four or five modified showing up to the racetrack.
Yeah.
When you get four or five showing up to the show, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people rush to get their cars ready for that show, right? Like, it's, you know, you listen to, you know, the big leagues of NASCAR and stuff like that, where they have cars done, ready to go on racks, you know. Up here, on when you have one race car, and that's what you race, and you have a full-time job, and you have a family, and you have all that, getting a car ready when your season shuts down in October and fires back up in May, getting a car ready for March is usually a difficult order.
Sure,
you know,
it is. Yeah.
Parts are a little bit harder to come by. We don't have stockpiles, you know, and you know, on the regular short track side, you don't typically have enough parts to just re-put your car back together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a slow, monotonous process for a majority of race teams over the off season to rebuild and get ready for next year. And you know, anybody who gets their car done in time for the show in March usually has an upper hand. Not necessarily.
A lot of them even start before the season's over. So what
exactly.
You're seeing is actually the new car that they
exactly.
actually ordered for next year.
Yeah.
That's how they sometimes get out of the box and have it ready for early shows.
Typically, absolutely. And you know, it's not necessarily with a motor in it. It's not a complete car yet.
Right.
It's not set up. It's just, you know, the body work is done. The chassis is all painted and everything is complete, ready to go racing. So usually if you have your car, you know, in the show, you've got an upper hand over your competition.
Yep.
So, you know, when you have it ready for this time of year, you're chomping at the bit. You want to get out testing as early as possible and knock the rust off or you know, shake the new car blues off or whatever it may be. You've got a little bit of an upper hand. I know there's tons of cars out there that are, you know, not necessarily bare chassis at this point, but still being put together.
Yeah,
reassembled,
about halfway.
You know, halfway through,
yep.
Bodies being hung. Even the top guys like J.R. Fitzpatrick in the APC series, guys like Andrew Grizzell. You know, I seen posts from Sean Chenoweth, who was just throwing the body on his car. And, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, the guys who show up to the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's always intriguing to see who has their car ready and kind of I benchmark those people when they have their car ready for the show as you know your tough competition for the year because that's they've got a little bit of an upper hand on you.
Yeah, they sure do. Let's tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. We got a great lineup. We're actually going to have some time as well too to take your calls if you'd like to give us a shout in. We got three guests coming at you. First one being, we're going to talk about the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour that takes place on Canada's East Coast. Got an announcement there, our live race broadcast schedule. Going to let you know what races we're going to do live this year. Well, I'm going to tell you about that tonight. We're going to hear from the number 5 of Jonathan Hicken. John has won a pile of races out on Canada's East Coast. He is definitely one that is, when you're talking championship caliber, talking championship bound, I wouldn't doubt Jonathan Hicken's got to play right into that category, Junior. He is one of those guys. We're going to catch up with him tonight. He's from PEI.
Last year, he went out and proved me wrong. This, I believe it was probably this week or you know, next week's kind of time frame of last year.
Right.
Heading into the season, we talked about Jonathan Hicken, and I said, I wouldn't class him as a favorite.
Yeah.
You know,
I
said it. I said it clear as day, and you know, it was based on, you know, he's always a super competitive guy.
Yeah.
And he's always up front. You know, he's a guy that is he resembles a lot of Mark Martin. He's got like a lot
yes.
of those qualities.
Yes,
you know,
he does.
He's always up front. The car's always clean at the end, and he's always got a smile on his face after the race. If it was upside down or if it was straight as an arrow,
yep.
He's always got the grin and just happy to be there. You know, when you look at last year's performance, they changed their program considerably.
Yep.
They went through and Andrew Hicken and the guys at King Racing put together a Fury car for Jonathan and it was a brand new piece, top of the line, state of the art stuff. And he went out there and won a bunch of races.
He sure did.
Still didn't come home with the championship.
Nope.
But just missed it by a tick.
Yep.
And you know, he didn't have the new car blues that you see 50% of the time when somebody builds a new piece, right?
Yeah.
So he does have a solid notebook now from last year. I believe, you know, and I want to follow up on the last show that we did. Now, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We talked to Kent Vincent. So I did some looking at the rules that came down through the pipeline you know, did some investigating behind the scenes. They eliminated a lot of the stuff that Fury does not have on their cars, which is really interesting. When you look at Port City and Gary Crooks and some of the stuff that Rowdy is doing now, it's the J bars that come around and you know they're not a straight trailing arm car, and they have outlawed those in the series. I think that anybody with a Fury car and I think McCall takes an upper hand now on being a competitive car in the series. I think that McCall and Fury are going to be the most competitive cars. Now, I don't know if anybody out there has a McCall car at this point in time.
Right. But I don't think so. Not out there. If they do, it's an old car.
Yeah.
I can't remember hearing anybody order a brand new McCall car out of Ontario and take it out there.
Yeah.
Most of them are
North
like
Carolina,
you said.
Gary Crooks,
yep.
Their Fury cars.
Distance.
Dean Clattenburg, those guys. But when you look at you know, not to say that the J-bars or the J-hooks, however you want to call them,
right.
Not to say that those are what make a competitive car. But the R&D that those chassis manufacturers are pouring into their cars are derived from the J-hook setup. And they do change considerably. They're dramatically different to drive by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
And they either work real good or they work real bad. But when you dial them in, they work really good. And when you look at the R&D work being done down the Rowdy channel, down the really, Seneca's got a version of it, you know, and there's a few other manufacturers out there that have, you know, variations of it. They've eliminated those style rear-end geometry setups. And, you know, it's really interesting. We're going to talk to Jonathan Hicken a little bit about that. You know, we'll also touch on what's coming up over the season. He's got a great notebook. He's got great numbers put together from last year. And when you come off the season and you're not building a brand new piece heading into the new year,
yep.
You know, you do have a little bit of an advantage.
Sure.
So, he's definitely one to watch out for that championship next year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll catch up with Jonathan Hicken here shortly. Also coming up on tonight's show, of course, we were off last week because of a Raptors game
that didn't happen
on Sirius XM Channel 167. No, the Raptors
did
game happened.
Did
oh, yeah.
It happen?
Yeah, yeah.
It oh,
did.
Yeah, yeah.
It
did. Yeah.
But we don't have that to contend with this week or for many weeks here on. Tonight, Chandler Smith won at Phoenix in that Venturini Toyota. Driver of the number 20, and Chandler Smith is going to join us tonight. We'll talk about Phoenix. That was quite a race. Seeing the end of it last night.
Yeah, he didn't have the car to win.
No.
And he won.
Yeah, and that's a sign of a real good driver, right?
Yeah, good driver when you can overcome, you know, having a car that is the class of the field. When you can overcome that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily just on pit strategy. Like, sometimes you see the car that's not the fastest, you know, out pit. You know, out-strategize,
yep.
But really, how everything shook out there, it really came down to Chandler Smith being the driver that he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, a certain pit strategy came in there, and just interesting how it all shook out. But Chandler Smith, you know, he's turning heads consistently in that deal, and just a great kid from Alabama.
Yeah, we're going to catch up with him here tonight. We'll also hear from the 2019 APC champion. We got Matt Perdigo going to join us. He had the 21 Global Warranties Toyota all shined up, all brand new, at the show this past weekend. So we'll catch up with Matt here tonight. That guy, like you say, those cars that are ready for the show, usually a force. Watch Matt this year. He's going to be good.
The APC series is going to look really, really interesting in 2020.
Providing everything stays on the track.
Yeah. But the APC series, it's going to look really interesting because there's going to be the new body style from AR,
Yep.
You know, which is the new nose cone, the new tail, the new door skins, but the same roof section. Then the Gen 6 version, or Gen 7, I don't know what they're calling it, the new version of the five-star body. Then, as well, you're going to have the old-style five-star body out there.
Right.
You know, there's guys that are building the old-style. There's guys that are building the brand new one. Of course, Matt Pertigo changed it up, went to the new five-star Toyota body. Gorgeous looking car. They did a great job with it. And then you have some guys that are putting together with the old, you know, normal style, you know, ABC body. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a neat change. You know, when you show up and all the cars look identical, I like that. It's a uniform look. But I also like going and seeing different looking style
Some
cars.
Some different stuff, yep.
You know, I like it when you can tell the difference between two cars. That's the number one thing that I like about modified racing is when you go to an Oscar modified race, when you go to a Florida modified race, the cars look different.
Yeah.
You know, there's identity there. You can be creative with how you mount them. Now, they are still under the ABC deal, but they're going to look different. And to be honest with you, there's not going to be a performance advantage on the body side.
Shouldn't be.
The only place that you would see it, if there ever was, would be a place like New Hampshire or Jucasa. But really, you know, they're so close. So take a look at our website. Go to racetimeradio.com. There's a picture of Matt Pertigo's car with the Gen 6 body or the Gen 7, the new style 5-star. They did a great job hanging it. And, man, does it ever look good.
Well, we are going to get this show underway right after this break. We'll grab Jonathan Hicken out in PEI. We'll talk parts for trucks. We'll lay out that live broadcast schedule that you can look forward to this summer if you can't make those parts for trucks races. We're going to get to all that and more right after this break. Stay with us. Just getting started.
Bonjour, ici Andrew Langer, coureur de la voiture 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio. I'm Andrew Ranger. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL. Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Baby, baby.
Hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
And And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Couldn't resist. Had to throw a little Bruce Springsteen in there. I love that spot. And it's going to be a great night. Tonight's going to be fun.
It is, for sure. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
We sure do. Let's get to the hotline, shall we, and bring in our first guest. I always look forward to getting this guy on the program. He drives the number 5 in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. And you know what? He's multiple winner. And by the sounds of it, he's got some race car ready to go out there in PEI. Let's bring him in. Jonathan, what's going on? How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Joe? I'm good tonight. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you betcha.
Jonathan, do you want me to call you not a favorite again? Was that fuel to the fire last year, or do you want me to call you a favorite now? Which one do you want?
Totally up to yourself. It's your choice.
Yeah. You always know, Jonathan, that you always got to listen to the old Joe, right? Like, the old Joe's got his stuff all dialed in, knows who the threats are. Junior, he's off on his own little island at times.
Yeah, there you go. It's just everybody's got their own choice, though, and what they want to, who they want to pick, and who they like, and whatnot. But we like to be there week in and week out, and go for the win each and every week, and see what we got. But I feel that we bring a pretty good Fury car week in and week out.
Absolutely, and,
no doubt about it that we'll be there this year again.
100%. Now, right off the top of the show, I had mentioned kind of when Dad was introducing who was going to be on the program tonight, I compared you to Mark Martin. And I said Jonathan Hicken is that type of guy that is, you know, he's always in the hunt. He's always there. But he's got a smile on his face, whether the car is upside down or whether it's straight as an arrow. I said that, but I that makes me want to ask you who your favorite driver was as a kid. Who do you look up to? Who did you look up to, or who do you look up to now? And do you have a favorite that you kind of, you know, kind of embody?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because Mark Martin, over the years, like through his Aveline number 6 car, that's who I always used to watch growing up as a kid, between him and Terry Labonte, to be honest with you. I like their style. Very successful, both of them, in their careers, and always. That they were always my two favorite picks, for sure. Right now, I'm a Kyle Busch fan. I like to watch him. I just like his style on the track type thing. He can wheel that car. No doubt about it. Really, he's probably one of the best out there now. But yeah, Mark Martin, Terry Labonte, when I was growing up through my teenage years and started racing, was always the two that I watched.
Isn't that interesting? It is interesting, you know, just because, you know, and not to say that you emulate them. I'm not saying it like that. Like, you've got your own style. Jonathan Hicken is Jonathan Hicken. It's just, it is really interesting because you can see direct, you know, role model type traits that come from both of those. You know, when I look at a guy, you know, I look at a guy, Andy Kamrath, right? Andy Kamrath is a guy that races here in Ontario.
Yep.
And him and his brother idolize Dale Earnhardt. And he drives like Dale Earnhardt when he's out there, you know? And, like, he will use the front bumper. If he's behind you for 3 laps, he's going to use the bumper. And you know, and that's not a bad trade. It's just, like, you know, it's really interesting to see the different. And I want to ask more of that. We're going to talk to Matt Pertigo later. We're going to ask that same type of question, but it's definitely cool, because really out on the racetrack, you know, Mark Martin was the type of guy that he would get what he could get out of the car. And that's exactly what you do. It's you're not trying to take a 5th place car to the lead and wrecking yourself and you know, being checkers or wreckers. That's not Jonathan Hicken's style.
No, and I've never seen Hicken go out there and intentionally wreck anybody for a position or for a win. I haven't seen him ever do that.
Exactly.
Have I seen the 5 move somebody? Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. But I can't remember a night, Jonathan, where you went out there and got so pissed sideways that you went out there and wrecked somebody. I haven't seen you do that.
No, I couldn't remember the last time that I wrecked somebody or got black flagged or whatnot. But I'm not any prince out there, for sure. I'm going to use the bumper and do what I got to do. But I'll usually race you the way that you race me and go by me. But always there, and always try to keep the nose clean and be there at the end is always my goal, and be there at the last 50 laps of the race and see what we can do with the car.
Now, I've known you for the last, this is going to be 10 years. Can you believe it? 10 years. Racetime Radio has broadcasted the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour races, or at least some of them. This is going to be our 10th anniversary of doing that this year, Jonathan. Isn't that nuts?
Oh, yeah. Hard to believe. Time does go by. This is, well, it's been 2007 since I started with the tour. So time does fly on by, and still waiting for that championship, but we just keep chipping away at it. We've been close a couple times, but we just keep doing our best. The guys at the shop and King Race and everybody around involved that helped me out over the years, it's always much appreciated, and we like getting out every year to see what we can do.
I know you go after wins each and every time you strap into that five car. But do you ever, Jonathan, do you and the crew ever sit in that shop out in PEI and say, okay, this year we're going to go for wins, absolutely, but this year we are going to chase that championship and we're going to concentrate on it. Do you ever do that?
No, we're not points racers, and myself I'm not anyway. I just, the wins are more important to me as far as I'm concerned, week in and week out. If you can get 3 and 4 wins in the season, which we have done before, I mean, you're winning a third of the races and getting noticed. I mean, being a champion for sure would not be, it's definitely on my bucket list for sure. It's hard to get, but wins are every bit as important to me. They see each week, and it's fun carrying that flag at the end of the race.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that's the goal each and every time you guys go. Chapman's came on board, what was it, last year, year before, on that five car. How's the sponsorship coming along for the five this year?
Oh, good. Chapman Brothers Construction's back on board again. I get King Racing, Bumper to Bumper, Redline Sport and Cycle, White's Fabrication, Reynolds Well Digging. All the pretty well sponsors that I had there last year are back on board again. CPM, pretty well everybody that you would have seen on the car last year. I think it'll be the same this year. But, Chapman Brothers being the primary sponsors, great to have them back on board. And we'll see if we can chase that championship or a bunch of wins again.
Jonathan, just kind of, you know, to extrapolate on a conversation that we had 2 weeks ago here. It was 2 weeks ago, right? When we had Kent on, we had Kent Vincent on the show. And, I know that you are a Fury guy. I know that, you and your brother there with Andrew, you guys are diehard Fury guys. The rules that came down through the pipe, you know, just a few weeks back, I know that the rules meeting kept on getting delayed and delayed and delayed because of the weather out there. But, with the rules that came down through the pipe, you know, with the new, the outlaw, I guess you could say, of the rear trailing arm setup that Gary Crooks and those guys run. There's lots of different manufacturers. I'm not singling out Gary Crooks, but you know, outlawing the J hook, over the top trailing arms. Do you feel that that's an advantage to you at all, heading into the season because Fury doesn't dabble in those, or what's your thoughts on that?
The J hook, it's something I've tried. I mean, you'd run it about a 50-50. I might have run it 3/4 of the year last year, but I've done it both ways and had success both ways. It's not really going to hurt our car. I mean, you get everybody at the end of the day running same stuff anyway, so it's not really going to be a disadvantage to us. I feel that we have our stuff pretty well on par, getting right off the trailer week in, week out anyways, and do our homework at home and get to the track. We're usually pretty consistent anyways. So, but like I say, at the end of the day, everybody's running the same stuff or supposed to be anyways, and it's pretty fair playing ground, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour is going to celebrate 20 years this year. Series has been around 20 years. That's saying a lot. And, you know, the series is going to kick off at a track that you are a rocket ship at. It's going to kick off at Petty International Raceway. And I know, Jonathan Hicken, you have got a lot of success at that track. You got to be licking your chops to get to race one.
Oh, I like getting the
Petty International. It's my favorite spot to go by far. Between here and home, I've had a lot of success. But Petty, yeah, you get up on the wheel. It's wore out, high banks, short corners, just a fun track to race, and I've had a lot of success since it reopened, and can't wait to get there. 200 laps to start, so I like the longer races there. Just try to save your stuff and be smooth and be there at the end, keep the panels on it, and we should be in good shape.
Yeah, and that's the way you race. That's probably why you love that racetrack so much. Are you going to get out and do any testing? How close is the five car? I know we got some photos, but how close is that five car to doing some laps?
Five car is over at King Race, and now we're going to get the body hung on. That was an old picture that I sent you, but it's not. By the end of this month, it'll be pretty well race ready and good to go. Take it home. We're going to do a little bit of testing early, I do believe, weather permits, and see about all the sponsorship when it comes in and how many races or tests that we can do tire-wise. And it's the same old story, just it all comes down to sponsorship and the time that you do get for testing. But we're going to give it an honest shot and see what we can do.
Is that Chapman Brothers 5 going to look the same as last year? Are you going to throw a twist at it like you normally do?
I believe it looked the same or awful close to it. It was nice and nice and simple last year. Stuart David had a lot of comments on it. And I do like the black. And I'd say it's going to be very similar. But, yeah, we did have lots of comments on it. And Stuart David good. So I think we'll stick with that and keep everybody happy.
Absolutely. It is a gorgeous race car.
Sure is.
It's definitely just clean looking, you know? Like, that's what I like to see. I like flashy sometimes. You know, sometimes you show up to the racetrack and there's a flashy looking car. And you've actually driven a flashy looking car. That castle building car.
Loved it.
I guess it was like 2013. It was when I was out there for the Cat 250. So when was it?
Yeah, that would have been 15, about 13, 14, 14.
Somewhere in there. Used to have a flashy looking car, and now you got like a ghosty, clean looking car, and I love it.
Just nice and clean and simple.
Absolutely. Looking at you know, heading into 2020, and things have changed dramatically in all forms of you know, late model racing over the years. How much work goes into what's the most important setup advice you could give to somebody that's new out there, that's maybe getting into late model racing or just becoming competitive? Where do you guys focus a majority of your time on in the shop? Is it on travels now? Is it on bump stops? Where would a new team focus? I'm not trying to pull a secret from you, but on the advice side, where is somewhere that you guys, you know, focus on making that car turn?
Yeah, get a lot of time if you can on the gale force system. If you can get a gale force or King Racing, or give Andrew a call. I mean, he'll give you pointers on bump stops and things like that. But bump steer, bump stops, toe in, just completely go through your front end, make sure everything's tight. Everything is so crucial, right down to 1/16 of an inch of toe. You know what I mean? It's just you got to do your homework at the shop and have all your springs and bumps in the right corners and make sure everything's right, you know what I mean? Everything free and moving free, and do your maintenance each week is very huge. And, you got to spend your time at it. And if you're spending the time, you're gonna see the rewards out of it.
Yeah, and you'll feel the difference, right? If the guys in the shop forgot something, or maybe you forgot to do this through the week that you thought you were going to do, you sure find out when you hit the racetrack, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you don't have something right, if your bumps are off, you're dragging the track or what have you, but you gotta do your homework each and every week and keep good notes. That's very important. Week in and week out, every track that you go to, before and after notes, and it'll come your way eventually if you keep the car in one piece every week and go back to the track, concentrate on setup instead of fixing it is usually a big part of it.
Yeah, good stuff, Jonathan. Really, really appreciate your time tonight on Racetime Radio. I always look forward to getting you on here, and I know We all look forward to catching up with you. Race number one, Petty International Raceway, May long weekend is the weekend that you guys are going to debut. I won't be out there for that one. We will have the winner on Racetime Radio here, but I am going to catch up with you in race number two, which is at Scotia Speed World on May the 30th weekend. I know I look forward to catching up to you guys there, and it's going to be an awesome season. Hopefully this coronavirus, spikes here anytime and then starts to fade away and we can get back to real life. We surely look forward to a great season this year.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, stay out of trouble out there, and remember, keep your distance until you hit the track.
Yes, for sure. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
You bet. That's Jonathan Hicken, driver of the number 5. He's one of those guys you got to keep your eye on, Junior. He is going to be a force. There's so many of those good cars out there in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Truly, 2020 going to be the year. This is going to be the one.
It is, for sure. And, you know, I'm still dying. I'm chomping at the bit to see who's going to be in that zero car.
Yeah. No kidding. Tim Terry, I guarantee you, as soon as there's word out,
Tim will
contact us. We're going to get him on here, and we're going to squeeze him for that information.
I would hazard to say that the two series in Canada right now have the most current and nicest equipment, and that would be the Parts for Trucks Tour and the APC Tour.
Oh, side by side.
Like, when I look at the Cars Tour, when I look at Pass, when I look at the Southern Super Series, there are a tremendous amount of good cars and really better teams overall, right? Like, there's professional race teams that race in those series. But they're few and far between, right? There's a tremendous amount of really good cars that show up to the All-American 400 and the Snowball Derby and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that if you added it up, all the equipment that is on the racetrack at the Parts for Trucks Tour race, and you added up all the equipment that's on the racetrack for an APC race, I would say that the two tours here in Ontario, Canada, have the most equipment on the racetrack at any given time.
Oh, I would think so.
I honestly think that, you know, when you look at, any of the touring series down there.
60 between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there
60.
Might be, you know, 5 to 8 cars that can win any given night in the Cars Tour, in the Pass Tour, that style down south racing. I would say that there's 20 cars that can win on any given night in the Parts for Trucks Tour, and I would say that there's 20 to 24 cars that could win any given night in the APC Tour.
Yeah, and that speaks to the control that those two different series have on the competitors. It really does. It speaks to that. It speaks to how well prepared those teams are, all of that. Yeah, and, you know, we don't do enough discussion about the series that happens out west at Auto Clearing Motor Speed. It's not Auto Clearing anymore. Wynette Group Speedway. They've got a great tour out there as well. And we really do have to get more educated on that. Those guys do a great job. I just don't quite simply have all the information, and we need to do a better job with that tour. But they get around, too. You can see them in Saskatoon, up into BC. I know those guys travel around, and everything is further away for them. So, yeah, maybe the car numbers aren't as high as what we see here. But you got to remember that when you go and, the races in Williams Lake, BC, or it's in Saskatoon, you got some traveling to do, my friend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, big, big travel between. So,
yep, most definitely. And when you look at, the depth of the tours as well, the travel time is a huge killer for Pass, right?
Like, sure.
It's the same type of deal. They cast a very wide net, and, you know, they have a north and south, so they limit it that way. But when they have the Super Series events, where they combine the north-south, like those style events, usually, you know, you have a guy that's driving 16 hours to get there.
Yeah.
So, 16 to 18. So when you look at, you know, and that's where the cost really drives up as a series branches out. APC for the bang for the buck, you know, really everybody is within a 4-hour drive of everything.
Yeah, depending on where you're from, most of the guys are out of that London, Guelph, sort of Kitchener area.
Yeah.
Most of the teams, not all of them, but most of them are down in that area.
Yeah.
Which lends itself well to where the racetracks are. You got a 2.5-hour drive, 3-hour drive to most speedways.
Yeah, exactly. And that there is one of the keys to success for the APC Tour. You know, it's simply, you know, the
geographical
for sure. Yeah. And you know, that I honestly feel that is one of the drawbacks of the Pinty series. You know, it's
guaranteed,
the number one drawback of the Pinty series is that, you know, you do have to go to Edmonton. You do have to go to
Saskatoon. You know, it's a long travel.
There's a lot of logistics there, and it becomes very difficult. But and where CASCAR, you know, and just to kind of elaborate on this a little bit.
Well, we got to hit a break too.
Yeah, but where CASCAR won back in the day,
right,
was the fact that they had the West Series.
Yes.
They had the East Series. If the NASCAR Pinty Series did that,
yep,
and there was a West Coast Series or even an East Coast Series.
Yep. Do both. One on the West, one on the East.
And a Super Series. If they did that, it would go back to being the most successful series.
Yeah, you got to take a page out of Tony Novotny's book, because Tony was a wizard back in the day. When you look at CASCAR and what it stood for and what it was, just amazing. The numbers from back then, but a lot of those numbers translate back then, right?
Exactly. It does, for sure. And, you know, it's something that, you know, if there was two late model series that got together and did that.
Yeah.
There would be a tremendous amount of pressure to do that.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, between APC and the Parts for Trucks Tour, if they linked up and there was a Super Series between the two, there's the moneymaker in the back end.
Wouldn't that be cool? We're going to hit this break. When we come back, I'm going to unveil our live broadcast schedule, live flag-to-flag coverage that you can look forward to this summer in 2020. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, it's the 82 Fortinos Dodge, Dave Conley from Ottawa, and you're listening to Racetime Radio. Check us out at a local school. Go to fuelforkids.ca.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up, and he'll slam on the safer barrier, and he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Yes, it was sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, Racetime Radio. Only on SiriusXM 167. We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167.
And And here we go. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. Or maybe you're having a listen in throughout the course of the week on the Performance Motorsport Network.com or 98.9 XFM, Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Or maybe Gearhead Country Radio. There's all different ways of getting your Racetime Radio content. Of course, we're also available on demand. Get to racetimeradio.com or hit iTunes, search Racetime Radio. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode of Racetime Radio. We do it every single week, other than last week. Right here on Sirius XM, Channel 167, from 9 to 11 Eastern, or on racetimeradio.com at 6:45 p.m. You can jump on and tune in and be part of the show. Let's have a look now, shall we, at our live broadcast schedule coming up this summer. We're going to kick it all off with the Parts for Trucks Tour on Saturday, May the 30th. We're going to come to you live from Scotia Speed World, and that is a 150-lap race. So we'll bring you that live flag to flag. You got pre-race and post-race coverage as well. Then on Saturday, June the 6th, we're going to come to you live from Riverside International Speedway. Always love going to that racetrack. A 150 there to kick the season and open the season up. Then on Saturday, June the 20th, we're going to come to you live from Scotia Speed World. It is a 150-lap race there. Saturday, July the 18th, you want to make sure you mark all these on your calendar, including the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. 250 unbelievable laps. I always call it Canada's ultimate short track race. The IWK 250 weekend, July the 18th. Live flight-to-flight coverage of that race. We'll come to you again on Saturday, August the 8th from Scotia Speed World. And that will be, let me see here, August the 8th. How about this? It is the CAT 250 weekend. You don't want to miss that weekend as well. So two 250s right in a row. Saturday, August the 29th. We're going to come to you from Riverside. 200 laps for that race. And that'll be the final race of the year at Riverside. And then, of course, we wrap it up, the championship race, on Saturday, September the 12th, live, flag-to-flag from Scotia Speed World, and it'll be 200 laps to settle the score in the Parts for Trucks Tour. So, 7 live races. If it happens in the province of Nova Scotia, you can count on Racetime Radio live flag-to-flag coverage for each and every one of those races. Junior, I love that Parts for Trucks Tour, and I know fans love it as well. We had just under 3.2 million clicks last year for all of our live races. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. And growing every single year. And, you know, there's lots of people that that listen in. You know, I was walking past a hotel room last year. We were at a race in St. Eustache, Quebec.
Yeah.
And I was walking by, and there was a guy with the door propped open, and everybody was drinking beer. It was a rain out, and there was Racetime Radio on. We were just getting back from dinner. I said, man, we sat there. There was probably 8 of us that sat there and listened to it. And listened to the, I believe it was the Dartmouth Dodge 200.
Was it?
Was it towards the end? It was towards the end of the year. So, yeah, but we listened to the Dartmouth Dodge 200. It's just... It's handy. And,
yeah. It would have been the Oliver Tire 200 last year. Dartmouth Dodge wasn't on it last year. That was the year before.
Exactly. But it was the 200 at the end of the year.
It was the 200 to finish the year.
Yeah. But, it's going to be a great broadcast schedule again, and looking forward to hearing all the content, hearing everything come out.
What's so cool about our live coverage? It is worldwide. Yeah. It is absolutely free. You don't have to go register and pay fees and do all this kind of stuff. It's as simple as click and listen, just like you listen to Racetime Radio live on a Sunday night. Those live flag-to-flag broadcasts are exactly the same way. Click on that link and you're there. You listen to it live. We do put them up on demand. If by chance you miss that live race, you can get up there and grab that live race and have a listen to it. If you get to racetimeradio.com right now, you can have a listen to last year's live races. We have all those racked. as well. Any of the races that we have done live are now all loaded to iTunes. So you can go back and visit any of the live races we've done. And I can't remember. It was well over 100. Like way over 100 that we have done. Jerry Paxton, Josh Paxton, both those Ontario guys. Tim Terry is always on those broadcasts. And Brad Mann, he's from New Brunswick. Brad jumps on. Dylan was another one. He is the announcer. Dylan Langell from Riverside. When we're at the Riverside races, he usually shows up at the Scotia Speed World races. Whenever Dylan's around, he also jumps in. And over the years, Mike Chapman has been in there. And it's a lot of fun. It is great coverage, and we get a ton of comments from listeners all over the place. A lot of listeners down down south, they want to hear what's going on with all those different manufacturers. You know that the guys are keyed into it, and that's cool. The tradition continues in 2020, and we got seven of them coming at you, and you never know, we could add more.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be, you know, looking at it, there's more in the works, too, on the back end, right?
Yeah, there is.
Over the course of the season. You know, that number seems to grow every single year. So looking forward to seeing, you know, where all everything shakes out. But
love to get out to Saskatoon and do one of those.
Yes.
I gotta tell you, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
We haven't done that.
Yeah.
And I would really, really love to do it.
Yeah.
A couple things I want to go over here. Noticed on Twitter over the weekend, Alex Tagliani was one. I believe DJ Kennington was another one. Somebody's out there creating fake accounts on Instagram for Alex Tagliani.
Yep.
And it's not him. Alex Tagliani's is very specific. If you go to his Twitter, you'll be able to see a video that Alex did. I know there was one. I've seen one for DJK, too. Yep. What is it today where guys are out there trying to fake and create havoc?
Well, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. It could be a guy or a girl.
Could be either.
Any
one,
person.
Right?
Yeah, no, but why do you need to do that? For sure. But it was funny because whoever ran the DJK one, you know, of course, DJ and I are pretty good friends. And DJ, you know, followed me on Instagram, and I clicked on it, and I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
DJ Racing, DJK Racing 454, I think it was clicked on. And it sent me a direct message. Hey, thank you for following back. Are you one of my fans? And I said, no, I'm a big fan of Alex Tagliani.
Really?
And then I screenshotted it and I sent it to DJ. I said somebody's faking you.
Yeah.
And he said, it sucks to be famous.
Yeah, isn't that?
But, you know, it's just comical. You know, there are people, they're trolls. They're sitting out there. Now, I do want to touch on one thing.
Right.
And you know, it is something kind of right along the same line, so you couldn't get a better segue. The drunk Brian France Twitter debacle.
That too, yeah.
So there's a difference between a comedic parody account and somebody who's faking to be somebody. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would.
I think a parody account... there's a place for a parody account.
Yeah.
And I honestly think a parody account is funny. And it can be. Now, nobody wants to be imitated, right?
No.
You don't want to be imitated. Whoever is going to imitate you is going to imitate you wrong. And you're going to feel slighted by it.
Right.
If you're a public figure and you get imitated, it should be a form of flattery. Yeah. I mean, it should be.
Well, it depends. As long as it's not malicious or destructive...
Correct.
Then it you know, you can have a lot of fun of it.
So the drunken Brian France Twitter, you know, is I always found it comical. I didn't think that it was Brian France tweeting.
No.
Like nobody in the racing community or anybody else would have ever thought that. It was started in 2006 or 2007. It was way before Brian France got nailed with what he got nailed with.
Right.
Right? And, of course, the news story is out there. He was arrested for, you know, a bunch
whatever.
Of different charges.
Yeah, yeah.
In New York. But, you know, I find it extremely comical and you know, kind of irresponsible to sue the guy.
Yeah.
I feel like if you have an image problem that you know, you did something wrong...
Well,
in the perception of everybody, why are you going to pick on the little guy? He's just a random guy. Now, I understand the legality of it, but everything goes back to the First Amendment, right? In the U.S., it's I mean, you're protected. It's freedom of speech. So I think, you know, well, there's 50% of the people are for it, 50% of the people are against it. I'm one of the ones that are for it. I mean, he didn't ever attempt to impersonate Brian France in any way.
Well, the name's there. The name's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but, I mean, there are other people named Brian France. Six is one, half a dozen is the other. If somebody wants to make a Drunken Joe Chisholm Jr. account, I would laugh at it. It would be funny.
Yeah. Well, but as long as they're not putting stuff up there that is malicious or destructive. If it was, I bet you'd be the first guy screaming, who is this? How come they're able to use my name?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that. Like Orange Cone, for instance.
Well, Orange Cone is just an orange cone.
It is.
It's. I mean.
And the Orange Cone, I've got. I love it. I love it. I always have. Orange Cone has been one of those ones that I follow.
Yeah.
And for 99.9% of it is good for race fans.
Yeah, it's just. It's either comedy or it's newsworthy or it's thought-provoking or something in there. I understand it if you, but there's a fine line there between malicious and comedic.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, do you want to be roasted all the time? No. Do you want to have a public image? Yes. So, I mean, I have followed Drunken Brian France for a long time.
NASCAR
Chasm is another one. NASCAR Chasm, when that whole deal started. Now NASCAR Chasm works for NASCAR now, right? That's a completely different deal.
Oh, is it?
Works for NASCAR now.
Okay.
When it started, when that guy started NASCAR Chasm, he did not work for NASCAR.
No.
Now he was part of the NASCAR community, but he was not working for NASCAR.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting because at the beginning, there was a lot of stuff that was put on there that was defamatory or could be viewed as defamatory towards drivers, towards NASCAR calls, towards things like that. There was always a constant, you know, a comedic roasting to be done. And, you know, it grew to a point where NASCAR ended up hiring them, you know, and it's comical because, you know, NASCAR Chasm is you know, employed by NASCAR and took the exact same approach that Drunken Brian France took, just one's getting sued and one's employed. When I look at, you know, the overall grand scheme of things, if you're a public figure, you're going to be picked on. You know, you just got to brush it off, man. I mean, it's definitely a funny subject to me. I'm not picking a side. It is what it is. If there's illegal activity, I don't know about.
Right.
I've never viewed a tweet. I've never seen a tweet that, you know, I look at and think, man, you know, like that's defamatory. Right.
Yeah.
Or that's defamation.
Well, you don't catch them all.
And
but
you don't catch them all. And I'm not taking a stance for it or against it. I'm just, I was always a fan of the account. I thought it was funny to a certain degree. You know, would I sue a guy? Absolutely not.
No.
But,
no.
You know, and we're just bringing the news. So it's. I'm not picking a side by any stretch.
Okay. We're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on news and highlights that you may have missed over the last hour or so. And then we're going to be back for hour two. I know Kent is on the hotline, and we're going to bring Kent up as soon as we come back. And then, of course, we got Chandler Smith coming up. He won the ARCA presented by Menards race at Phoenix a week ago. We're going to bring him up and we'll talk to him about that big win for Venturini. And we're going to get to all that and more. Stay with us here tonight, live on Race Time.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight live on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in. We got lots coming at you. We got Chandler Smith coming up from Venturini Motorsports, course one at Phoenix. A week ago, we were off last week, so we're going to get Chandler on here in a couple of moments. We also have Matt Pertigo, APC champion from 2019. He was at the Motorama Car Show this weekend. We'll catch up with Matty here shortly, but we do have a caller up on the hotline, and I know it's Kent out there on the East Coast. What's going on tonight there, Kent? How you doing?
Not too much, boys, and yourself?
Yeah, trying to stay out of trouble, trying to stay our distance, trying to do all that stuff, and trying to stay alive, buddy.
Different place we're in right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Lack of motorsports this weekend, and it's got the world turned upside down, and more than just racing, this is it's going to be a different world for a while.
I was going to say motorsports is all sports.
Yeah, everything.
I did like the idea of TSN repeating the... I believe it was last week's Phoenix race for the Xfinity series. I was hoping that the Cup race might repeat today in the time slot, but they didn't. But some of those ideas of either historic races or whatever, because we don't know how long this is going to go on, it might fill the gap. Like the slots are there for them for the length of programming, so.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know, though. We are talking TSN, and they don't always stay with the race when it is live. I've seen times.
Well, hey, but we got to see the Phoenix race for Xfinity twice. So
yeah.
Come on, give them credit.
Okay, well, it is dart season after all, so, you know, like, that does factor in. I'm only shooting that. Yeah, TSN, you got to love them. We got no other choice but to love them.
Until there's another source, that's the way... It's going to happen. Like, look at how we had to get the coverage from New Smyrna.
Yeah.
We found it somehow.
Yeah, we sure did.
NBC tried to take it away, but we found it somehow, so.
Yeah, we sure did. It's going to be different, Kent. What are you going to do to fill the time?
Well, right now, it's just waiting and see what's going to happen. Like, we're into the end of March, or coming up to the end of March, and we hear that most stuff, it's basically going to be canceled till the middle of April or the end of April. Well, then you're getting into racing season, and are we going to be through this, or are we going to be still dealing with this? Like,
that's the million-dollar questions. Fingers crossed. You know, there's a lot of smart people in this world, and we're really, really dependent on them now. But we all of us have to do our part to do what they have asked to do, and that is... Stay home, and let's stop this thing from transmitting. And it's going to be tough. There's no doubt. You don't want to stay home all the time. It's nice to have a little break.
You'll go cat shacky.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna try and keep you from going crazy. We'll talk short track racing just like we're doing tonight, and that should that's gonna help, I think.
Yeah. Well, like I say, we got a couple of different things going on here. Myself, we're hoping to get a couple. I sent stuff off to you, links about the guys in the island. They've built a new lawnmower racing track and stuff, so, and there's a few of us trying to get it off the ground and get a track location here in Nova Scotia. So I have a guy building me a couple machines this winter, and we're going to give one of them away as a fundraiser for the local exhibition, and then the other one I'm going to have that I can put a driver in, because we do host a race at the local exhibition. And so hopefully that'll keep us busy enough until the race cars hit the track and we can get back to the fast
So are you going to drive one of these, Kent? Are you, you're going to drive a, you're going to race a lawnmower?
I have raced a lawnmower before. The last couple of years, I have just, I do the organizing of it.
Okay.
So I do the, I have a helper that does me the flagging, but I organize the races. So
cool.
I'm going to own the machine and put somebody on it. And because, like I say, there's about 50 of them in PEI on this end of the island, down around the boat. There is a few across the island, but the majority of them are located from Charlottetown down to the boat side. They moved locations last summer and built the new track, and they're getting ready to get that undergo. So a couple of the races there, I said, well, put me together a couple machines and we'll run one as a fundraiser for the exhibition. We're going to give it away, and that way we can get it and get the machines growing in Nova Scotia. There's a Facebook group of North Nova Lawnmower Racing Club. The one in PEI is the PEI Lawn Tractor Racing Club. And like I say, some of their machines that they bring over from the island, they're doing, they can do 65, 70 mile an hour down there.
Wow. Yeah, I was...
A paved stretch of highway. They're not doing that. We've had them doing 45 and 50 on dirt.
But. Yeah, they're not doing that cutting the grass.
No.
when the team, I want to say, it was the Riverside race, actually. I forget the New Glasgow. That's where we stay.
New Glasgow,
The Holiday Inn, New Glasgow. For the Pinty's race. And I came down, you know, early from the hotel, and I was down in the lobby, and I went around back because I left my bag in the van, and there was two guys with open trailers with racing lawnmowers on them.
Really?
And I'm telling you what, man, it's like a little go-kart, really. Yeah. Like but it's beefier.
They're serious.
No, they're dead serious. Yeah. Like, it's not a lawnmower.
There's five different classes over in the island, and they've basically, up until now, they've had to be on a lawnmower frame with quite a few modifications, of course, and stuff. But now, there's not too many pictures out yet, but there's quite a few guys building an XFR class. And basically, I think they're somewhere around 50 cc, but up around 80 cc, I think. And they're going to be able to do about 60, probably 60 mile an hour.
You guys are crazy.
And it's like you're sitting right on the ground. Like it's
It was it's a lawnmower.
Yeah, it's like a 3 inches
so
off the ground.
This is going to happen in Pictou County, Nova Scotia, right?
Yeah, we raced them during the exhibition. The last 5 years we've had them over here. Like I say, myself and a few others across Nova Scotia are trying to get a track location and stuff set up in Nova Scotia so that we can grow like PEI has.
Mm-hmm.
There's another group out of Fredericton. I think they have about 30 machines in Fredericton.
Yeah.
But across the five classes in the island, they have about 50 machines now, and they run anywhere from juniors for kids up to, like I say, the machines that are running 55, 60 mile an hour on a dirt grass, dirt track.
You know what you're going to have to do? You're Pictou County. What you're going to have to do is grab George Koskulik's. He's only up the road there. You're going to have a spare tractor. You're going to have to get maybe George out there.
We've done it the last few years in Demolition Derby to get the publicity from the radio stations. I usually call up the local radio station. I say, all right, who wants to drive the Demolition Derby car? I have it ready.
Yeah.
We just need a driver, and that way we get a lot more jock talk and stuff like that on it. So I don't know where you're at the 10th or 11th weekend, Joe, but if you want to fly out to Nova Scotia, you can drive a lawnmower.
I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. 10th,
11th, I figured that would be young Joe.
Of September? Of September?
Yeah, the exhibition this year will be, it'll be the weekend that you guys are in for the Oliver 200 in Halifax.
That
weekend.
Yeah.
The weekend of our exhibition, and it happens on Friday night.
If we can get Jerry Paxton jarred up enough after the races are all done, you never know.
Hey,
We can plan something.
Or Brad Mann. You know, yeah, if it goes fast, old Brad, he'd jump on it, I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
Would he fit down in the cockpit, though? He might need a little bigger seat. He's something like myself.
Yeah, he is. You want to believe it. Kent, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right, boys. Stay safe.
We will talk to you next week, and you be safe and keep your distance.
Bye.
Yeah, you betcha. That's Kent out on Canada's East Coast, a regular on Racetime, calls in all the time.
Absolutely, for sure. And I'm dead serious when I say that this thing looked like a little race vehicle. Like it was a, like for a lawnmower,
yeah.
Like it had everything.
Well,
I
seen them at Sauble one year.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Jason had a track on the infield and the lawnmower. I can't remember how many came up.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was quite a few lawnmowers that came in. I think they were all out of the London area.
Yeah.
They got a circuit, and they came up to the beach. And
totally cool.
They had a lot of fun.
Yep. Yo, guys will race anything with
sure
four
they will.
Wheels, won't we?
Sure.
We will.
Two wheels, four wheels.
Yeah. I mean,
no
six wheels.
Wheels.
Yeah. Airplanes. What do you want to race? A shopping cart?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. Race it.
We're going to hit a break. When we come back, Chandler Smith's going to be with us. You don't want to miss it.
That's a big jump.
Yeah, it is.
Lawnmowers
to
NASCAR.
Here we go.
Hey, race fans. This is Brendan Didero, driver of the number 24 Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup car, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. Oh.
Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL, sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
Alan Kidd bringing us back. Thanks, Kidd. We are back with you live tonight on Race Time. So glad you could tune in. Like, you're going to have to keep it tuned now to Sirius XM Channel 167. I know things are upside down. We had a lot of live coverage, Raptors and NHL and all kinds. As soon as things go back to normal, all that stuff's going to come back. But you can count on Sirius XM Channel 167 Canada Talks to keep you totally up to date. We got a lot of great programming on our channel. And, of course, Racetime Radio is going to be here for you all the way through and from there and beyond. So we want to urge you to keep it tuned to 167. Any of the late-breaking news, we're going to have it for you here on the channel. So It is different times. It is. There's no doubt about it. Just listen to everything that they're telling us. Let's do what they say. As for crazy shopping, I haven't been back into the grocery store since last week. Going to be heading there probably tomorrow, the next day. Hopefully the shelves aren't stripped. It's not an apocalypse. We are going to be able to shop, and all that's going to be there. But when people go loony and they start buying everything up, the stuff you're going to buy other than your toilet paper, I guess that'll last a while. But, you know, there is a shelf life on most things. So if you buy too many of them and you don't use them.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, what are you doing?
There was a funny post on Facebook, not a funny post, but about somebody, stockpiling all the Lysol wipes.
Really?
And reselling them on Amazon for a huge markup. Like, don't do that. Don't be that guy.
Dumb.
But, just a crazy time, isn't it?
It is.
It'll be really interesting. When you look at the motorsports community here in Ontario, I think that, you know, it's... we've got a delayed start, but you're already seeing it down south where they're canceling all the events.
IndyCar, NASCAR.
But even the local short tracks as well. You know, a few local short tracks went in Maryland and Lincoln County, I guess, raced and a bunch of the other ones. But my buddy Brett Hope and I were talking about it on the weekend, over the course of the weekend. And he's a dirt racer from down in South Buxton area down near Blenheim.
Yeah.
Big shout out to those guys. But, it's going to be interesting. It's going to hit everywhere.
Everybody feels healthy, right? Everything's cool. No big deal. Don't worry about it kind of thing. But you got to remember something. You go out and you get into a group of people, whatever, and you could carry this virus and infect everybody else. So it's only going to, we got to heed the warning. Hang out for a couple of weeks or whatever the time is.
Hopefully time passes
out,
and we're good to go.
Time passes, and then we're going to be able to get back to normal. But if we don't do that, guess what? We could end up with this for a long, long time. Nobody wants that. Forget about it for a minute. Let's talk racing, shall we? Let's talk to a winner, a guy that went to Victory Lane at Phoenix. Been a little bit now, a couple of weeks, but let's welcome him onto the show. He drives for Venturini. Everybody knows Chandler Smith. He drives the number 20, and he's on the hotline. What's going on, Chandler? How you doing?
What's going on, man? How are you guys?
Well, just trying to talk some racing, and we would have done this last week. We were preempted for a Raptors game last week, but we haven't got that problem this week. We got you live. You did a great job last weekend, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, what's it like driving for Venturini down there? Are you guys having huge success? It's got to feel great.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It doesn't matter where you're driving. If you're winning races, you're happy. So, Venturini Motorsports is a great team. Billy and Big Bill, they are tremendous to work with. Billy's a great crew chief. Man, me and his, our chemistry together is unreal. We just we click together, and it's something you don't come across for a while, so...
Now,
it's an honor for me to drive for them and also represent Venturini Motorsports.
Now, you know what you're going to be able to do, Chandler, and you're a lucky guy now. You and Michael Self and all you guys that drive for Venturini, you're not going to have to kiss the big Italian next time you go in. You can say, hey, we got to watch the COVID here. Stand back
there,
Billy.
Right. That's right. You guys are the big winners in this whole deal because you get to hold Big Bill back 6 feet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I know. You'd rather embrace him. I know that. The tradition's got to continue. We all want to see you guys do well. Take us back to Phoenix. That was a great race. It didn't look like you were going to win that race, but, man, you turned it on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Billy put me in a great spot at the very end of the race for me to capitalize and make the race win and move, and that's exactly what I did. It was just a great team effort from all my number 20 JBL Toyota Camry guys. They put me in position to win the race, and I had to put it all on me and just ended up luckily getting the job done.
looking at Phoenix, obviously, you know, we've seen the news, you know, kind of trickle out afterwards. You guys had a member of Venturini Motorsports fall ill at the racetrack. So you guys, there was a lot of stuff happening in the background. What was it like shutting that off kind of in the brain and getting after the job at hand, number one? And obviously, you know, it was cool to go out and win for the guy. It's a big statement. But you guys had a quick victory lane interview at the end. Talk about has he recovered? Is what is happening with the crew member that was part of Venturini Motorsports?
Yeah, personally, I don't have much information on him, but definitely when that happened, it was something heavy on my heart, and I went out and raced my heart out for him in specific. So I don't have much information on how he's doing now. I was told that he was, the past week or so, he was up and conscious and all and moving around, so that was all good.
Okay. Yeah, so gotcha. Much to deal with, right? It's definitely not just simply get in the car and race and forget about the rest. You guys got a lot on you. Not only strategy for the race, you got to have all your I's dotted, T's crossed. And Chandler, that's what you got to do to win an ARCA presented by Menards Racer, ARCA Menard Series race. That series looks like it's tougher this year than it's ever been.
Yeah, for sure. Ever since ARCA and NASCAR kind of merged and NASCAR bought out ARCA, now we have a bigger car count, also a little more competition. So, that statement's for sure true.
So we see you in the ARCA series. Where else are we going to see you this year if everything goes right, like it's supposed to? Where else? Because you're famous for jumping in super late models. You're famous for being in everything.
Yeah, I'll be racing some super late models, some truck series stuff, and Trans Am, and come back up there in the Penske series and race two races up there with 22 racing again.
That's cool. You had a lot of fun up here last time out. It didn't end the way that you wanted to, but I was standing up in 8, 9, and 10 there watching you rip, and you were getting after it out there on that tricky road course.
I was trying my best to, man. It seemed like I would pull them everywhere else, but down the long back straightaway from 5th all the way to 7th, dude, I would absolutely get kicked. They would make up everything I gained on them.
No, no.
Very frustrating.
Hey, every driver that I've ever dealt with says the exact same thing. That's just the way that it works there. It's like if you wear a helmet and go down the back straightaway at Mossport, you're going to complain about everybody pulling you. That's what every one of you guys do. I don't care if it's Andrew Ranger, if it's J.R. Fitzpatrick, if it's Max Pappas. I mean, every one of you guys say the exact same thing. So that means that you're doing something right when you feel that you're getting pulled down that straightaway. Just so you know, internally, every one of you guys complain about the same thing.
Well, that makes me feel a little better about myself, and I was doing at least something right.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle, I swear. if there's a car in front of you, that guy's leaving you. That's just the way that it is. And it feels,
sure.
Every one of you guys feel like getting through turn two, you did it great every single time. Just so you know, like that is another trait of a great driver. It feels like turn two, you got through there good every single time. That's it's just comical. But it was a lot of fun to watch you out there. What was the biggest thing you took away from racing a Pinty's car versus everything else? Because they are a lot different than everything else that you've ever driven.
Yeah, I think the right word for that is it was just different. There ain't nothing specifically that just stood out that was a lot different, but the right word for it was definitely different.
Well, this year you're going to come back in, only this time, experience. You're not going to have to try and figure out which way you're going and what this does and how, you know, what's this going to feel like. This is going to be different this year. You're coming in with experience, and that's got to pay huge dividends.
I'm coming to get that trophy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, and you get free wings, too, I believe. You guys do when you win a race. I think Tony, he even kicked some wings at it.
For sure.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a good summer when things get going. You got good momentum on your side right now. Is it going to be the full ARCA series for you this year? You're going to go after that title?
No, I'm only 17 years old, so unfortunately I can't really do anything full-time.
Yeah, so, well, that's okay. You're going to build into the future, and there's nothing wrong with that. And seat time and all the different things that you've been racing, that's all got to pay huge dividends.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So looking at the Toyota program, obviously Venturini, man, powerhouse, right? What kind of influence does Toyota, provide to a guy like you who's coming up through the ranks? Because really, Toyota's driver development program is stout. There's no better way to put it. But Toyota's driver development program, being a part of that, there's got to be other stuff other than cool race cars that you strap into on the weekend. Talk a little bit about the background of what you do, to stay fresh and how does Toyota help you do that?
Yeah, for sure. Just for starters, Toyota racing development is a lot more than, like you said, just jumping in cool race cars and being able to go fast. All the way from the simulator that they provide to their drivers, from the conditioning at the TPC, which is the Toyota Performance Center, which they have their own gym for their drivers, all the way to you have all contact to any type of engineers, mechanics, that you can ask them any type of questions. And just everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody's there to win. They're not there to mess around and just get paid. They're all there no matter what the pay rate is. They're there to win. And that's what really makes Toyota separate from any other manufacturers. They're always going to be winners, and that's why Toyota's always going to be on top.
So with that, on the R&D side, how does a guy like Chandler Smith divide his time up throughout the course of the week? Not necessarily at the racetrack. We all know that you guys are busy when you guys get to the racetrack to the time that you leave. But through the week, as a professional driver who's 17 years old, who really, when you look around at all your buddies that you went to school with are chasing girls or you know what I mean? Like, how do you divide up your time through the week to get prepared for the upcoming week coming forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, to be honest with you. It's all over the place, 24/7. It's just I'm here and there and always wide open doing something. Just as long as I have the right head on my shoulders and I stay focused, I think everything's all good all the time.
So your next race, Chandler, when's it going to be? I know we're up against the coronavirus and none of us know our future, but if it went away tomorrow, when's your next race and where's it going to be?
Trans Am Racing in Road Atlanta with Mike Cope Racing.
Have you driven one of them things yet?
I've not even seen one of those things yet.
Man, those things are badass race cars. They're just so cool.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
Oh, man.
You're going to love it. They're a rocket. You're going to have a lot of fun in it.
But you're going to want your Pinty's car to drive like it. When you come up here, and it's not going to.
Yeah.
But, man, they're such a cool race car. I'm looking for. I want to have you on the program to talk about it because the last guy, remember we had Joey McComb
right
on the program.
Yep.
It was the week after he came back, and I think they were racing at Homestead. They were. That was the last time we talked to a Trans Am guy or somebody who just got out of one. But I want to have you on the program to talk about after the Trans Am, after you get to strap into one of those things, because they're quite the pieces of engineering.
Okay, for sure. I look forward to it.
Deal.
I don't know if Adam Andretti raced the Trans Am Series. I don't know whether he is again this year or not. I caught up with him in at CTMP a couple years ago, and I know he loved the Trans Am Series. We talked about it.
They're just a cool race.
Not
car.
In the interview, but we talked quite a bit about it afterwards, and they sound like a wicked car. You're in for a lot of fun, my friend.
For sure. I appreciate that.
You betcha. Chandler, this has been great catching up with you tonight. We look forward to getting you back on here again. You keep winning races, and I bet you there's going to be lots of people contacting you.
For sure. I hope so. I appreciate you guys inviting me on the show.
You betcha. That's Chandler Smith, the Venturini Motorsports, victorious at Phoenix International Raceway. That's quite a track.
A cool race all around, and man, they've done a lot of improvements at that facility at Phoenix. Phoenix has always been a really cool racetrack, but just to see how much they've invested and what they've done at the facility is just, everybody that goes there is just blown away at how cool it is. Now, they've changed a tremendous amount of fan amenities. It's just an all-around cool place to be. And some of those restarts in that ARCA race, well, really all the races the past couple of years at Phoenix, through that dog leg, where they fan out five wide and then have to turn a corner with almost zero banking and get after it. There's just a tremendous amount of raceability in that track. They're off throttle time, right? That's what we hear. We hear, whether you listen to Door Bumper Clear or you listen to Dale Jr. Download, you listen to any of the drivers interviewed, the thing that they love about Phoenix is the off throttle time. And mm-hmm. that's really when you look at a good race car driver, that's what provides good racing.
Well,
is when the driver has the ability to lift off the throttle, to turn the wheel, to hit the brakes, not just hold it wide open
right.
and hold a pretty wheel. That's not racing to a lot of these guys. But a track like Phoenix just provides, you know, a tremendous amount of off-throttle time, but it provides opportunity for the guys to make mistakes.
Oh, that paved flat area down low when you're coming past the start-finish line and then you dive down.
Super inviting.
Unbelievable. But it doesn't always work out.
Oh, it doesn't?
Right?
No, for sure. And that's what's exciting about it.
Yeah.
It adds
another element.
It does, for sure. It gives you options. And when you have options at a racetrack, you look at when they repaved Michigan, right? Mm. They repaved Michigan. And now when you go there, you are so on the knife edge and you can't necessarily just go everywhere, you know, and race wherever you want.
Right.
As it breaks in and as the racetrack wears in, of course, Michigan has got winters that, you know, are equally to as harsh here.
Yep.
That track weathers in very quickly. And I think we're going to see even a different Michigan again when they get fired back up. But I know we're not talking about Michigan specifically, but when they repaved it, they took away all the options that a driver needs to be able to make passes, to be
used
able to,
to.
Do
yep.
all of that. They paved Phoenix and provided more options,
yeah.
which is a really unique thing, and a lot of racetracks need to be able to take a page out of their book because it created options for guys to be successful and to create mistakes by others. And if you don't hit that just right on the transition, you're going to hit the splitter and the thing's going to wash up the track.
Oh, yeah.
If you hit it just right, but then don't enter the corner just right, you're not going to gain what you gained by hitting it right, on the straightaway. So it just provides a really unique way of racing, and it creates mistakes. And anytime that you can look at a race and it creates mistakes, that's why road course racing has jumped in popularity over the past 10 years in NASCAR, is because a majority of the tracks down there, they have it so dialed in that the drivers don't make mistakes, that the
right.
teams don't make mistakes. And you know, the guy who starts 15th finishes 15th, 14th, or 16th.
Right.
You know, and that's just the way that a lot of the oval tracks have went. So when you look at road course racing, it creates the unknowns, and it creates opportunities for the good drivers to shine, for the bad drivers to not shine, and for the bad drivers to have a good day or the good drivers to have a bad day. And you know, it's just a way in which Phoenix is. It races a lot like a road course does because it creates opportunity for people to screw up. And when you can't control the variables, that's what creates good racing.
Yeah, it does. I've been waiting for you to say, how did you watch the ARCA race last night? And you haven't said
that. Not last night.
Yes, last night.
Last night.
I watched the end of it last night.
No, last week. Sorry, it would have been last night.
I watched the end of the ARCA race. It was rear.
You did?
I did.
On MAV TV.
Last night. Nope.
No?
Nope.
Where was it?
Fox Racing.
Oh, Fox Sports Racing.
And that now is on Shaw Direct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, channel 336 to be exact.
I just figured that it
would have
been re-aired on MAV TV.
Yeah, no, it was just added March the 12th.
Cool.
And now Fox Racing is on Shaw Direct Satellite.
Cool.
And it's free from now until April, I want to say April 11th or something like
Good.
That. And then you have to buy into that channel.
Well, that'll be,
so,
yeah.
Now,
so all your content from Fox Sports 1 will now be on Fox Sports Racing.
There you go. So the truck races.
Now on Shaw Direct.
Now on Shaw Direct.
Good news, Shaw Direct.
Yes, it is.
It's about time.
Very good news. And MAV TV, I might add. MAV TV, I was in contact with Mike Arrow from MAV TV.
Yep.
And I believe they have a huge announcement coming out on the 16th. What's that, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Tomorrow.
That's exciting.
Big announcements coming out. So key into MAV TV Canada. We got lots of stuff coming at you. Some very, very interesting content coming your way. have a look at MAV TV. Follow them on Twitter. Follow them on Facebook. Mike Garrow, Scott News. And I wouldn't doubt we'll have Mike on this program next week to talk about all their announcements. And I believe they've got a huge one coming out on March the 16th. So key into MAV TV Canada, you'll be quite surprised, and you'll be very interested. You're a Short Track fan, I know you are. You're listening to this show. We're going to hit our final break. When we come back, Matt Perdigo, the 2019 APC champion, he seems like he's all ready to go for 2020. His car was at the show on the weekend.
He was ready to go right after the banquet.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what a champion will do. And Matt Perdigo is going to join us here live on the show next. Stay with us.
Oui, bonjour, Bruno Gaillette, gazman de la voiture numéro 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24-7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24-7, 365.
Thank you, you are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAV TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Race Time Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
Now, that didn't take long, did it? Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. I am the old guy, Joe Chisholm, and there's Junior right over there. He's another Joe, poor guy. Should have named you something else, right? I should have named you, I don't know, Bob, Phil, Fred, Frank?
It's different when I'm at a racetrack and I hear somebody yell, Joe!
Yeah.
I expect it to be about you.
No, just the good stuff.
So I just ignore them.
Yeah.
I just ignore them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Joe.
If they want me, they'll say it again.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Okay. Let's get back to the show, shall we? This next guest, I'll tell you what, he had a dandy 2019 season.
It was an all right year.
Came away with the championship in one of the toughest racing series in North America, the APC series presented by Grivesdale. It was Matt Perdigo in his number 21 Global Warranty Toyota, and he is with us now on the hotline. What's going on there, Mr. Matty? How are you?
Great, guys. How you guys doing tonight?
Fantastic. Looks like you got your wheels all shined up and ready to go. Was that just a show car, or is that the real deal you had at Motorama?
That is the new real deal. I guess since we talked, we haven't really talked about this one. Brand new car, Mike and Cole built. I'm really looking forward to finally getting into it. Season's coming up quick.
Absolutely. It's coming up like a bullet, and hopefully everything's out of the way so we can get this done. The show, your car was in the show Friday and Saturday. Of course, they pulled the plug on it for Sunday. Did you get the car out today, or did you take it out yesterday?
No, it was brought back this afternoon. Rick went down to pick it up, brought it back, came home safely, so... yeah, no, we picked it up today, and it's at home now.
Yeah, good deal. You guys did a beautiful job on it. So I guess the next thing you're waiting to do is a little testing and tuning so you can get that thing dialed in on where you're going to need it to be.
Yeah, pretty much. The car really hasn't changed much from last year in terms of build, but obviously did a couple updates we found throughout the year onto it. But yeah, you're right. Really, really looking forward to a track opening up soon so we can bolt some tires on and get this thing going.
So a little birdie told me to ask, so and they decided to remain nameless, but which motor package did you choose to run next year? Is it the new Red Seal program? Is it the ASA style built crate? Is it which one are you going with?
No, we went with the Ford. Same as last year. It was actually motors last year. So
cool.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of options this year, and a lot of guys doing different things. So
there is.
But yeah, no, we're staying the same as last year. Like I said, a really lot hasn't changed to the car, other than obviously the new body we put on this year. But yeah, we really don't want to stray too far away from last year's design because obviously it worked out really well.
So Matt, you come away with the championship in 2019. You had good success over the season last year. Whereabouts do you, when you look back on it, where do you need to improve for 2020 to come away with the same result?
You know what? If we did what we did last year, I think we'll be pretty darn good. You know, no DNFs. Like I said before, that really makes or breaks your championship. Fortunately enough, we finished all races last year and came out with 3 wins, 3 poles as well. So. We figured out what went wrong at Ducasse, both APC races, and that's where we really struggled in terms of points. Obviously, finishing second at the Canadian Nationals, like I said, we really figured out what went wrong the first two times we were out there. So I think if we improve on those two races, we'll definitely be in the championship come Delaware Speedway at the end.
Which, by the way, everybody in the field used up, and you know, I use this term lightly, but a cat has got 9 lives, right? And a DNF is a life. And everyone in the field that was racing at Delaware Speedway last year used up all 9 of them. Because Delaware Speedway, the fact that you finished at Delaware Speedway was a miraculous effort.
Yeah, no kidding. No, we were honestly even surprised we finished. When we got the car back to the shop the next day, our right rear shock was broken in half and a couple other issues. So we were certainly really lucky to finish that last race in order to win the championship. And it worked out pretty well. So
it did for sure. Now, looking back on 2019, you know, the highs, you know, kind of continued all the way through the year. There was a tremendous amount of highs. You touched on the Ducasse portion of the APC deal. What exactly, you know, not what did you find? Obviously, you're not going to tell us that. But what was it? Was it a cornering deal? Was it a straightaway deal? What was, you know, and what do you see differently from how you ran the APC races to how you ran the Ducasse race or the Canadian Short Track Nationals race?
You know what? It was a kind of a setup deal we found. Just something that we tried, and it worked out really well. Obviously, by the Canadian National result. In terms of different driving styles per race, obviously the Canadian National was a little bit longer race. Really got to take care of the car. Unfortunately, we got caught up actually, I think, in a wreck about halfway through that race, and went to the rear of the field and was really able to work away up to the front. You know, if we had a couple more laps or at least a caution, I definitely think the car was capable enough to battling for the lead with Bubba. But yeah, no, definitely different driving styles compared to the ABC. Take care of the car, your brakes, everything. Tires, yeah, as well as your tires because, you know, you're really running hard at those last 50 laps, so you just take her easy and you're good.
Were you winded at the end of that 250? Or,
he was not. I
probably.
Seen him.
Yeah, did you?
No.
It makes me sick.
It makes me sick.
Makes me sick.
It's like he didn't even race it. What I think is he's got an actual driver that races the car.
I think he's got a shower and a hair dryer inside that car.
It's a really good McCall Racing setup. You know, you really don't have to drive the car too hard to to do really well, and I think that's what it was.
Well, that's a good comment for Michael, but you know what? You can have a good car all you want. Matt, I've seen you get out of race cars when I'm sweating in the pits, and I'm not doing nothing. I'm trying to hide with Doug Gonder most of the time. Yeah. When I'm at Delaware, Doug and I will look and find some shade somewhere.
Yep.
And, you know, Matt pops out of the car and he looks like he didn't even race.
He's got AC.
You know,
in
there. Yeah, I am getting older, though, guys. I do break a sweat now. But my wife watches what I eat now, and I got a bike, so I've been on that as well. So other than that, we're actually expecting our first kid July 12th, and I think that's a
congratulations
as well. So, yeah, no, thank you. Really excited. It's going to be a babe girl. So, really looking forward to that. Unfortunately, like I said, she is expecting on a race weekend, so it's going to be a little difficult to see what happens.
Oh, yeah, it will be.
Mama's getting scheduled in. If you've got the points lead, you know, Mama's getting scheduled in.
Yeah,
for sure.
You can have that baby in
Monday,
this hospital over
Monday
here.
Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. Monday or Tuesday would be amazing.
Incredible. There is, of course, the APC series you're going to compete in. That's going to be your focal point.
Yep.
But we do know that, the Grisdale Triple Crown at Flamborough Speedway is an option. I know at Sobel Speedway, we got a 150 coming up. And I might add, any of the late model guys, when we come out with this announcement for the 150 at Sobel Speedway, it's going to shake the earth. You're not going to want to miss that one, so mark it on your calendar. But are you going to get out, Matt, to some of the other races other than the APC shows?
Yeah, I think you'll see us at some other events. For sure, the APC series. And our schedule, it's fairly laid back. You know, we'll talk to the guys. If they want to go do some racing, we'll go do some racing. We did one Flamborough event last year to get ready for the APC race, so I'll probably just do that. I obviously love racing on Sobel Speedway because we win, I think, every time we go there. So I'd love to go to that event, and I think you might even see me back in a Handcats car near the end of the year again.
Oh, that would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be awesome. I had a great time last year. In talks right now to do one race next year, and it's definitely going to be in a race winning car. So that'd be pretty neat too.
We didn't talk to you after the NCATS race or the NASCAR Pinty's race, did we? Last year. Have we
no,
talked
I don't
to you?
Think so.
You
I,
did.
I headed to Florida right after that.
Yeah, that's right too. Yeah, yeah. And you know, I was up there watching, and you did a whale of a job for Jim Bray last year. You know, at Jucasa for the final race out. You know, you and I had a good conversation at the banquet about that race at the APC banquet, but you definitely held your own out there in equipment that was, not to knock Jim Bray's equipment at all, but you know, it's not a DJK or a 22 Racing or, you know, a EHR car. You guys did a whale of a job though, executing, towards the end of that race, saving your stuff. And what did you finish? You were right up there.
I think it was maybe 15th or something like that, 14th, somewhere around there. But yeah, no, we had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with Jim and his guys.
Absolutely.
Really nice guy, and I'd love to run for him again. Whatever I needed, whatever change I needed on the car was made, and we had a whale of time. And like I said, Jim's a great guy, and I'd love to do it again for him sometime.
Yeah, sure. You come in with experience in his car, too. You'd have a different result, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, for sure. We just kind of got in the car. That was the only laps we made, was that one day in that car ever. And that was the first time when I was in one of those cars since, geez, when I ran Three Rivers.
With Derek White, right?
Mosque. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was, I think, 4 years ago maybe. So, a little seat time definitely would help. And like I said, we just kind of jumped into that car and when it had some fun, that's what I love doing.
You're doing pretty good, you know, coming at this sport from a road course background. You're doing pretty damn good on ovals, I'd have to say. You're no longer known as the road course guy. You're now the oval guy.
He spent a lot of time wearing bridesmaid dresses, though. He spent a lot of time wearing that bridesmaid dress.
I did, and I'm really happy that the 21 Global Warranty and now Exalta Camry is on board this year. So new sponsor, like I said, Exalta on board this year. After a great season last year, they came on board. So looking to put in that car in the winner's circle again this year.
Same crew guys you got this year, Matt?
Yes, sir. Same crew guys this year as well. Rick McCall's head in the gang, just like last year, and keeps it gathered and keeps the car together one piece and go to win another championship and make it 2-for-2.
How about social media? I know you're on Twitter. I follow you on Twitter. I'm big. I love Twitter. There's something about it. I like Facebook, but I love Twitter. How about you? What all social media networks you got going on?
Yeah, mainly Instagram, at MattPritico21, and on Twitter a lot, too. I enjoy that. News is pretty up-to-date, and I follow, obviously, you guys all the time. So, Twitter and Instagram, you can catch me there.
So, testing-wise, even though the COVID virus is, COVID-19.
Darn bug that's going around.
Yeah, even though it's going around, is it conceivable that you could do testing? Because there's nobody around other than you and
absolutely
your bud?
Yeah, that makes it even better, I guess, right?
Sure. Yeah, you know no one's going to be popping their head over the fence.
Yeah, and, you know, fortunate enough, we're really close to Delaware Speedway. I live five minutes from there regardless, so... like I said, as soon as the weather clears up and the car's all ready to go, I think you'll see us out there. We're really trying to get into this new thing and see what it's like.
Well, the key is everybody's got to remain safe and healthy. We got to get the season underway. Matt Pertigo, this is going to be another Dynamite Series this year. It's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds. And hopefully we get out of the box right away. You guys open up Sunset Speedway this year, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, back to Sunset Speedway. Coming off a win there the last year, first time ever. So we're really looking forward to getting back there. And obviously, Sable Speedway and Flammable as well. A lot of favorites tonight.
Yeah, good stuff. It's going to be incredible. Bud, we thank you for your time tonight on Race Time. You get back to it, you're going to be a new dad. You got work to do, not only on the race car, but you got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, no, I got my hands full, that's for sure.
Well, get it done now while we're all shut down, and then when it's time to play, you'll be able to really give her.
I will. Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. Matt Pertigo, driver of the 21 Global Warranties Camry now.
He's been a Camry for years.
I guess, right?
Been a Camry for years.
And a brand new car, that car looks spectacular.
Yeah, for sure. They definitely do a great job. And he touched on that, the win last year at Sunset.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what McCall has got figured out over there. They've got some stuff figured out, man.
Sure they do.
Man, I look back to the 47. You guys did the race last year, first race out.
We did. We did it
right
live,
here on Race Time Radio. And you look at the 47, you know, you look at Matt Pertigo. They both picked up wins there. MRE cars, absolutely stout, very fast. A team like that building a brand new car, he touched on it, not changing a whole lot.
Right.
I don't know McCall for not changing a whole lot from year to year.
There's a lot
different in that car. Don't let anybody fool you.
Mikey knows what he's doing.
You don't build a new car just to mirror image it. You don't.
And that's not a research and development piece.
No, it's going to be the best of everything. You look at where Brandon Watson was in the APC Tour. You look at where Gressel was. You look at where Dale Shaw was, and how much winning they did when they hit on it just right.
Yeah.
And the thing about last year with Pertigo is that he was super consistent with speed and with finishes.
Yeah.
He didn't go out and light the world on fire every single weekend.
Right.
He was there and he executed every single time it hit the racetrack. And when things went wrong, when he should have finished 15th, he finished 4th.
Yeah.
You know, those types of scenarios. And he's like a dog on a bone all the time. He's just, you know, if you see the 21 behind you, he's going to stay right there. And as soon as you make a mistake, check up, a lap car gets in the way, he's by you.
Yep.
And
very methodical.
He is very methodical. And it's really interesting to watch a guy like Matt Pertigo execute at some of these races. You know, when they get down to it, APC is still a sprint race, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, it's only 100 laps. It's
100
not,
laps.
You haven't got
a lot of time.
You don't got a lot of time to wait around.
A lot of traffic.
But you have to. You still have to wait for your time to make moves,
yep.
you know? And it's really interesting to watch Matt Perdigo pick his way through. If you see him starting, you know, 8th to, you know, 12th,
yeah.
It's going to be 10 laps, and he's going to be in the top 6. And it's going to be 20 laps, and he's going to be battling for 3rd. And it's going to be 40 laps, and he's going to be battling for the lead.
Yeah,
it's just the way that Matt Perdigo operates. And, you know, he's a guy that doesn't make any flashy moves out on the racetrack. He doesn't
nope.
throw it 3 wide and
nope.
get the car sideways.
Nope. And put the car in harm's way.
He doesn't do it.
The two sunset races that I think of, there was two distinctive ones that, of course, last year we broadcasted the race live. It was a dynamite race. The 47 car won it.
Yeah.
But when I look back, and I got to look back, I don't know, 4 or 5 years maybe, something like that, 4 years ago, at sunset, at that race, Matt Perdigo was the man to beat that day.
Yep.
He was running along. He had worked his way to the front. He had the lead of that race. Andrew Grisel in the 81 car. He started in the last chance qualifier, won it,
yep.
advanced into the feature. And I'll tell you what, the last 10 laps of that race, Andrew Grisel made his way to the front.
Yep.
And I didn't think he was going to be able to get Matt. Honestly, I didn't. But Matt's tires were done.
Yep.
And Andrew, I don't know how he ran through the field and still managed his tires. He did it, and Andrew ended up winning that race.
That race that you're talking about.
It was amazing.
That race that you're talking about changed the face of the model that APC has right now, the impound model.
Yeah.
Because he went out in qualifying, and the thing was hitting the track real bad, so he got a really bad qualifying effort.
Yeah.
So he pulled it out, and he made adjustments to it. And then he raced the last chance qualifier, and you were allowed to make adjustments to it again before the feature.
Right.
And everybody else wasn't allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And he just had a completely different setup. So now if you race the last chance qualifier, you're impounded directly after that to go race the feature. But that race right there is what changed that model within
wow.
that. And it was a comical deal because he could have dialed himself out just as
sure.
far.
Sure, sure he could have.
But
how many times do you see that? A guy's really,
yep.
really fast, bullet fast,
yep.
and they go to make that one last adjustment,
yep.
and all of a sudden you take a car that was a bullet and you turn it into a dog.
Yep, it's just, it happens.
Yep.
But I will say this, you know, talking about Andrew Grisel and talking about Matt Perdigo, my top 5 races, thinking back on it, where it's been the most fun, the most exciting, the most, you know, intense races,
right.
as a spotter only and speaking selfishly, not necessarily as a fan, like I don't know, I don't view it as a fan when I'm spotting, right? It's just intense and you're focused in on one sector, right? But my top 5 races would all include the name Matt Perdigo and Andrew Grisel.
Yeah.
That and when you look back on it, every time that they're around each other on the racetrack, they get into each other, they bump each other, they hit each other.
Yeah.
They race clean, when you see the 21 and the 81 near each other on the racetrack, key into it because it's going to be a good race.
Yeah, it sure is. So many good races. So much to look forward to. But you know what, Junior? We are coming up on the top of the hour here. We've got to hand it back to Toronto, and we will come back and see you again next week. What do you say? We meet right back here, and we'll go another 2 hours. That's going to do it for you and I tonight here in the Racetime Radio Studio. Got to thank Susie Q right here. For hooking us up with everybody. Got to thank you for tuning in like you do every single time right here on Sirius XM Channel 167. Have a good, safe week, everybody. Do what the government wants us to do. And lay low. This is going to pass, but we got to lay low. Do that. Be healthy. Be safe. And we will talk to you again next Sunday. You got any suggestions? You want to hear something? Let us know. And we will try and make that come true. Have a good one, everybody. Be safe. Good night.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com.
a message on our 24-hour listener hotline. 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig, dig, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.